Rossdale Homes, with over 30 years of building experience. Rossdalehomes.com.au.
6:11, Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. What is making news, Roo, around the place?
There is plenty happening. These Californian fires are going from bad to worse, Ditz. 31 deaths at the moment, but the overnight show spoke to Charles Croucher from Channel 9. He said it could get a lot worse.
They've already exhausted firefighters. They'll be sort of trying to contain as much as they can. They'll be looking to the skies to see what this wind is doing. And then we get back to that task of recovering bodies, and we're looking at, I would imagine, dozens, if not into the hundreds more that will be discovered over these next few days, sadly.
So over like hundreds of people dead.
Yeah. Still unaccounted for.
It is shocking stuff. So we'll wait and see what happens in the future for that one. Renee Lawrence, one of the Bali Nine, is going to be released in 8 days. Ditz, been inside for 13 years for obviously smuggling heroin. She'll be the first to be freed. Three of them have died. Five will remain inside.
She says she's got mixed emotions. God, I'd just get out of there, wouldn't you?
Oh, I think they'd be cooked in the head anyway.
Do you think so?
Well, they probably were cooked going in for what they were doing. And then being in there for 13 years, I would have thought you'd be fairly mixed up.
I don't reckon the menu's too good in there. I'd be getting out as soon as I could.
Yep. Oh, you would be. There's no doubt about it. But I reckon they'd be pretty scrambled after spending that sort of time in that area. So we'll wait and see what happens.
Now, Roo, there's a story coming out of the UK this morning that just makes me scratch my head. And I want to go back 24 hours. I'll get to that in just a second. But a couple in the UK have been jailed for calling their kid Adolf Hitler. And in fact...
sounds about right.
Does it? So they've used the name Adolf as a middle name for their kid. And it turns out they are a member.
Oh, not Hitler as well.
I thought it was Adolf Hitler, but I've just read the article again. And it's actually saying that they've called their... They've used the middle name Adolf. Now, they are...
But that's different...
But they are members of an extreme right-wing group that's outlawed, okay? So, you know, here we have
the
things
members
like...
Members of a group that's outlawed.
Yeah, it's called, I think it's called National Action. And they are a far right-wing group that have been involved in some unsavoury acts, if you like.
Yep.
But I want to go back 24 hours when we, you know, made the point yesterday. Or I made the point. I don't want to throw you under the bus. But if there are 400 people on a wanted list here in Australia, or sorry, persons of interest list, why can't you actually go and round them up and do something about them? Because we're told that you can't in this country. Oh, we'd have to get it through the Senate. We'd have to pass laws. We'd have to do this, have to do that. Here's a couple that actually haven't done anything wrong, but so they don't do anything wrong, they've been put in jail because they're members of a far right-wing group and they've called their kid Adolf. So the UK government said, right, bugger that, we're going to lock you up.
Yep.
So tells me that in a democratic Western country, a Commonwealth country, that can actually happen.
We can do it, but we just need everyone to agree to those rules in Australia, which at the moment they haven't done that. That's the issue, I think.
Which means we can't do it. You're saying we can do it. Well, it's not happening.
Yeah, because they haven't passed it. I mean, what do you want people, do you want the government just to make rules over the top of?
It's what governments do.
No, they do have to actually pass this through government though, don't they? That's what.
Well, I reckon that's a technicality. I'd like to find out more about that.
Oh, I see your point. I mean, it'd be great if they could just do whatever they want when they're in Parliament, and if they think they're that much of a danger, and they just don't take things like this softly. I think it's great too. I'm on your side. I'd much rather have a government like that and a country like that, as long as it's not used in the wrong areas, obviously. But
No, we're talking acts of terror. Let's not go around the streets just rallying and winding up people and throwing them in jail because we thought they looked bad. I'm talking about acts of terror. We're not talking about just anything that we're not talking about a police state where you're too scared to jaywalk because you get thrown into jail. I'm not. Let's not be ridiculous about it. We're actually talking about acts of terror. That's all I'm.
Yeah. No. I think everyone's. Most people are on the same page as you with that one. It's for sure.
Mm. All right. Anything else making news for you, Ray?
Oh, just Salisbury West are trying to get back into the competition next year after they got kicked out
in the Amateur League football.
John Kernan said that I think there's a clause there where they can go for a vote for other clubs to see if they want to get back in after doing a certain amount of good behaviour. So watch that space as well.
All right.
What a goal! Ruined Ditz Overnight Sports.
Roo, the SNFL is following the AFL's lead slightly with some rule changes. Can you explain them to us?
Yeah, so a couple of the tweaks are that the six players have to start inside the 50-metre arcs, a couple of those in the goal square. So, and then you've got the four from each side in the centre bounce and one coming off the square on both sides. So similar to that. And then also, instead of if they want to play on from the full back after a point scored, you don't have to kick to yourself to run over the line. So
can I just ask you about that? I'm confused by that. So does that effectively take the goal square out of it? That's the only reason we have a goal square, isn't it? So we don't need a goal square anymore.
What else do you have the goal square for?
Don't know.
Well, if you're marking there, they straighten you up these days, but that's sort of changed a little bit. So they were going to have that 15-metre square ditch, but they, for some reason, didn't go down that track. So you're going to have a fast player manning the mark, and you're going to have probably want a faster, long-kicking player kicking in.
Yep.
To get a little advantage there. The State League, SNFL, will still keep a couple of their own sort of rules, 60 rotations, 25-metre penalties, and last possession out of bounds. They think that's been a real winner, in fact, in the SNFL. So just about everyone says that about the last touch. So we'll wait and see what happens there.
Now, last week this happened with the Crows. Now it's happened at Port Adelaide. Some senior players have come back early to get themselves in shape. Jack Watts, Brad Ebert, Sam Gray. They were all at training yesterday, a bit earlier than they needed to be. Now, one of the new coaches, Premiership player Jared Schofield, has come back to the club talking about the midfield.
What I do know is we've got a very good midfield there, and the one thing they will be looking to add is greater depth to the midfield. So we're not just relying on too few. Good that, you know, that there's obviously some senior boys that didn't have to be here this week. You know, Rockcliffe, Hartlett, you know, Jack, as you said, all back here, looking to get their hands sort of dirty early, which is good.
Yep, good stuff. Now, what's your boyfriend?
We've run into young Leanet a couple of times. It's in the gym, next generation there. Yeah. He's looking good. He'll go straight onto Polak's wing, do you think?
And then play on the wing, do you?
Yeah, that's where he's sort of been running, half-back wing, half forward.
Back, yeah.
Big fella to have on the wing.
I liked him this year. I really did.
Yeah, he was a good find. So,
now, what's your boyfriend been up to?
Simon Goodwin, he's been overseas.
Did he write to you?
I spoke to him about going, told him to look after himself and behave himself.
Okay.
Spend some time with the English rugby union team and a number of English Premier League clubs. I think it's sort of half known as a junket, Dits.
Sure is.
Would have got a few tips there. There's no doubt about that. Learning from the best. It's a good way to be. Apparently, he's going to sign a big contract extension as well.
Is he?
Yep.
They might be on the verge of doing some good things, Melbourne.
Well, they've only had 10 years of getting draft picks to build them up, so they should be getting close to having a good list there. But he is steering the ship beautifully, and they will be right up there as premiership favourites, you would think.
Now, Roo, there's something happening in the world of sport right now that I don't understand. I was listening to the Rush Hour yesterday with Jars and Louis. 36ers coach Joey Wright on the weekend cut one of his import players, Andres DeLeon. Now, he told him the night before the game he was being cut, yet he still turned up and played and was in the starting five on court, which suggests he's still good enough to be in the team. In fact, in the starting five.
It's a test for your brain, isn't it?
It is. And he goes on to say, let's hear from the coach, Joey Wright.
Unfortunately, in Australian basketball, you can only change your roster with your import spots. If I could change my rosters with my Australian spots, it'd be some Australians getting cut right now. Now, most of the Americans are aware of that and okay with that, and that's just what you do as part of your job. The Australians are also aware of that. So once they sign the contract, they get real comfortable.
So he's given the Aussie players a real whack there, but I still don't understand. I need someone to explain to me, if he's in the starting five, this fella, why did he cut him?
Because he has to cut someone, and he can't cut the Aussies. So he has to cut this fella.
But I would cut the import if he's not performing and he's not up to it, but he's in the starting five. So there's something I'm missing here, definitely.
Well, because you can't cut the Aussies, he needs to bring someone else in, I suppose. He has to get someone out to bring someone else in. It doesn't sound
right. If that bloke wasn't in the side, I can understand him being cut. You go to the import and say, mate, you haven't performed. I can't pick you. But he actually did pick him.
Mm.
So if someone from basketball could let me know, and I'm serious, I can't get my head around
that. Must be to do with flexibility, versatility of those players.
Hasn't he given the Aussie blokes a whack, though?
Yes. Yeah, pull your finger out by the sounds of it.
All right, that's our look at sport. Hey, in a moment, Roo, one of our favourite segments, dumb comments. And no surprise, Alice the Wag features prominently this morning.
Oh, good.
We'll get to that next.
I do it unconsciously. Subconsciously.
Just happens.
Like, yeah, you just all of a sudden you're on your phone.
Unconscious.
Yeah.
She's knocked out.
Yeah.
Triple M.
That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Dumb comments on Ruined Dicks.
Roo, as I said, Alice tends to dominate this segment. Good morning, Wag.
Good morning.
Can we turn her on? Did you turn yourself on there, Alice, please?
Yeah, I'm on.
Now, I think it was Friday, Roo. Alice has driven home from Triple M, gone home and then can't find her car keys, has right. actually rung the office and has people here looking around for her car keys saying, I can't find my car keys.
Right.
And she'd actually driven her car home.
Okay, so and it's the end of a long week.
Someone at the office did point out to say, didn't you leave here, drive home in your car?
Mm.
And Alice sort of went, oh, yeah, maybe I did. Maybe so maybe the keys probably aren't at work then,
probably
are they?
In my pocket or something.
Yeah, yeah. Is that how it unfolded, Alice?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't have any defence. That's exactly how.
Has anyone seen my keys?
Mm.
I can't find them anywhere.
But then, yeah, realised I'd driven home with them.
Yeah.
So.
No, good work. Now, what else has happened?
We've got a new guy in our promotions team called Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny.
And he's...
Johnny.
Microwave Johnny.
Yeah.
And he has been doing some social media posts for us on Instagram.
Mm.
Now, recently he's done one when we had the Drought Breakers in doing their live performance.
Yep.
He put all the videos online and wrote, we're so excited, the Draft Breakers are here.
The Draft Breakers.
Yeah.
Right.
D-R-A-U-G-H-T.
Yeah, nice.
Mm. Like Carlton Draft Breakers. But this was probably his first week of work, and it's one of my favourite stories I've ever heard. It was Daffodil Day, and he had to put up a photo of like some daffodils, and the hashtag for the campaign was dedicate a daffodil.
Mm.
But Johnny has put it up and has written, got the D and the F confused.
No,
and
no.
He's written hashtag defecate a daffodil.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. And it was
See,
up for like a long time. No
he
one
belongs
realized.
Here, doesn't he? He gets the job.
He could get a job on Channel 7.
He's in the mould of you, Alice. He belongs here for sure. Good on you, Johnny.
Defecate a daffodil.
Yeah, that's right. Now, we've got our montage ready to go there, Tim the Button Pusher. Let's have a listen to some of our other better dumb comments.
Years ago, me and my ex-wife were driving along the Duke's Highway heading in the border town, and we were following the train and we got up to the front cab and the missus looks over, she goes, hey Kev, that train driver's reading the paper. I said, yes, so what? He goes, well, who's steering the train?
The other day I went to Mum's house and she proudly said to me, oh, Wendy, I bought some of that LSD you said to put in my smoothie. I said, Mum, no, that's not LSD, that's LSA.
We were travelling for work and at the end of a long day, we put this movie on Troy, you know, the one with Brad Pitt, Eric Benner.
Yeah.
And anyway, about halfway through the movie, one of my mates pipes up and he says, oh, so which one's Troy?
Well, a few years ago, my older sister, who would have been about 26, 27 at the time, she choked on some water. She said, oh, it went down the wrong hole. It went down my food hole. And I laughed and I clarified. I said, well, what two holes do you think you have? And she goes, well, one for food and one for water.
Oh, God.
Yeah, mate, I was watching a cricket with my missus last year and she hates cricket and we're watching it. And she goes, you know, when a batsman hits it into the crowd and someone in the crowd catches it, that means the batsman's out.
Oh.
A mate of mine's sister was reading the paper, the death notices, and she said, what are the chances of eight Fred Smiths dying at the same time?
I think that's my favourite all-time.
That's my all-time favourite as well. Just bloody unbelievable.
Actually, the cricket catching one's not bad, but I think Fred Smith takes the cake.
Yeah.
Hey, give us a ring, 133353. If you can add to those for us, please give us your dumb comments. And we've got tickets to a very, very big concert coming up,
Huge Ruth. Concert, this one. A double to see Kiss on their tour, the End of the Road World Tour at Adelaide's Cooper Stadium.
What year is it?
November 2019. So only a year away.
Right.
But you can
win. We like to get in early.
Well, this will be sold out, this one. So win your tickets for nothing now. Tickets go on sale today, 10 a.m. from Ticketek.
They haven't printed the tickets yet.
No, but we're going to give you a couple.
6:49, we are taking calls on dumb comments, Roo.
Yeah, let's go to Andrew's Farm. G'day, George.
G'day, how you going?
Very good. What do you got for us?
I've got two, but I had a cousin. My brother was living in London and we're in Australia. And she looks up, it's a nice night, and sees the moon, and says, do you reckon he sees the same moon as what we see here? that's the first one. The second one, we had a car that was burnt out that blew up, and you couldn't tell what car it was. And that they obviously rang us and told us. And she goes, how did you find out what it was? And said, oh, the number plate was on there. She goes, yeah, but my car's got a number plate too. How did they find out? I said, well, they're all different. She says, no, they're not. They're all the same. They're just number plates. Didn't work out what number plate was.
Gee, she needs a bit of support, right, I
she
think.
Needs a bit of help, yeah. 6:54, Ruined It's here on Triple M. We're taking calls on dumb comments. What have you got there, Roo?
Yeah, we're going to the Barossa Valley. G'day, Matt.
Yeah, g'day, Roo.
What do you got for us?
We're watching the football with my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
The West Coast game, and it was Nick Natanui got the ball, and the commentator says Nick Natanui's got the ball, and the mother-in-law goes, those three are always together.
good one. Yeah. What did you say, Matt? that's all right. Let's go to Stuart.
He didn't say much, apparently.
No, I didn't. G'day, Stuart.
How you going, fellas?
Where are you from, Matt?
This could be Alice's best ever suburb name. Yeah. Now, where are you from?
A little place called Geranium.
Geranium. Where's that?
Out past Murray Bridge and Tail and Bend.
Yeah.
Geranium.
Now, apparently you're from Tyrannaham. That's what we've got on the screen here from Alice. Anyway.
Oh, right, eh? Yeah, autocorrect, maybe.
Geranium.
Yeah. Stuart from Geranium.
What happens in Geranium, Stuart?
Oh, not much. A little bit of farming and then, yeah, little primary school there and, yeah, that's about it.
All right. Now, give us your dumb comment.
I was going back quite a few years now. My sister had just moved down to Adelaide. And she had mum and dad with her, and she was taking them. I think they had to go to the registries of motor vehicles in the city somewhere.
Yep.
And they're driving down the road, and mum's like, oh, where is it? And she's like, oh, it's just up here on the left. And mum's happened to look across the other side of the street, and she's like, no, it's not. There it is. And my sister's gone, oh, yeah, but I was coming from the other way.
Oh, my God. You've had to live with both of them all your life. Good luck, Stuart.
Yeah,
I wonder if they topped the primary school in Geranium.
Yeah. Let's go to Morphavale. G'day, Pete.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Good.
Yeah, just got a nice view at my place when the sun comes up over the hills of Morphavale and the trees and that, and a female friend of mine goes to me, she goes, yeah, it's a pity you ain't get this after daylight savings.
Oh, what?
Exactly. Well, the sun will still come up from the east after the light savings.
Yeah, might just be a little bit earlier, a little bit later. Yeah. Let's go to Salisbury. G'day, Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, Rick, hello. You're on, mate. What do you got for us?
Good morning, fellas. Quite a few years ago, there was a contest, and you had to quote one of Arnie's sayings in any of his movies, like, I'll be back,
etc.,
right? Yeah. And my mate's come out with, I know one. Instead of saying hasta la vista, he's come out with, I'll start the Victor, baby.
I'll start the Victor. Lawnmower.
Exactly.
That's good.
Rick. There's been a real big decision made by the Liberal government to cut some funding to food bank dits, which at this time of the year, a lot of people out there need the support heading into Christmas. And I think food bank at the moment are feeding 710,000 people every month. So a huge amount of people that are relying on it. A quarter of those are children as well. So the government's made a decision to instead of funding two businesses, fund three businesses. So therefore, food banks' cash has been cut from 750,000 down to 427,000 a year. So nearly 50%. I don't know how.
Sounds like a strange decision.
I don't know how they're going to cope with that.
All right, Brianna Casey is the CEO of Food Bank. She joins us now. Brianna, good morning.
Good morning.
What is the initial explanation as to why the government has cut your funding?
Well, you may be able to hear from the spring in my step this morning. I've just had some shock news in the last 60 seconds, and I'm really pleased to report that the Prime Minister has just intervened.
Wow, really?
He has just given us some certainty. We were absolutely devastated beyond belief to think that at this time of year, 6 weeks out from Christmas, going into a really tough period over summer, we would have our funding halved. But thankfully, after some sustained advocacy and some extraordinary support from people like your listeners who really understand the importance of organisations like Food Bank. We have all rallied and risen to the call, and I think Australians are recognised for kindness and generosity, and boy, have they stepped up in the last 24 hours, and the Prime Minister has listened.
We've got a bit of power on this show, Brianna, haven't we?
Look, I'm giving it to your listeners. I think I have been absolutely blown away by the response in the last 24 hours. I think we're all everyday Australians. We know what it's like to be Aussie battlers. We know how hard it is when you're faced with raising a family and high cost of living and housing unaffordability and all of the everyday challenges that families are faced with. It doesn't take much to tip a family into food insecurity these days. And I know in South Australia there are so many challenges, whether it be gas and electricity prices or industry closures and so on. And to think that we would have had this support taken away, I was just so devastated about what that would mean for vulnerable families in South Australia. But thankfully, the Prime Minister has intervened this morning.
Well, it just seems like a crazy decision. And thank God he has. Now, I guess what you need, or when I say what you need to do, I'm not telling you what to do, but you've got to lock this in, don't you? I mean, will you 100%. Now have that discussion? Because it's great that he's made this decision or intervened now for the months to come leading into Christmas, but you need this ongoing, don't you?
Certainly, and certainly from all indications, and please bear in mind, I'm still digesting this news as well. It would certainly appear that he's given us some funding certainty over a period of years. But I think beyond this, we need to recognise here in Australia, we have a food insecurity problem. We've got 4 million Australians at some point throughout the year affected by food insecurity. That's a staggering number. We need to make sure that we're not just putting a band-aid over a gaping wound. We need to look at what's causing this in Australia and how we can all work together across whole of government to make sure that we can help vulnerable families when they need it the most. This is a terrific step forward. Certainly brings a lot of relief for us, but I wish we hadn't had to go through what we did to get this certainty locked in.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know what he's doing with the other two businesses that perhaps he's already promised them more money. So maybe they're just allocating more money to this sector, which is not a bad thing anyway in times like this. But I was blown away by the figure of how many people you feed a month. 710,000. I mean, yeah. What is there, 25 million people in Australia? Mm. So, you know, that's, what's that, 1 in 35 or something
18,
like that?
18%. 18% of Australians. And when we look at children, the statistic's actually higher. It's 22%. So 1 in 5 Australian children at some point throughout the year is affected by food insecurity. It's the reason that organisations like Food Bank South Australia work so hard across your state to make sure that we can provide school breakfast programs, because we want to make sure that these children can go to school with full tummies. It's hard enough for us at work when we miss morning tea or we miss lunch and we've got a rumbling tummy and we get hangry. Well, add to that a growing body of a child when you're being asked to go to school and play and learn and engage. And it's really tough work. So we're thrilled at Food Bank to be able to provide that support, not only to children, but to adults alike. We want to make sure all vulnerable families have got some sort of assistance to get them through. And it's really important to recognise this is not about handouts. I don't want to hear generalisations about handouts. This is about a hand up. This is about getting people back on their feet when they're at their most vulnerable and helping them get back into the workforce or into their community or out and about. And it's affecting everyone. It's retirees and the elderly, it's children, you name it. It's happening in our own backyard.
So you only found out 60 seconds before we rang you, Brianna.
I did indeed. All right. Something like well,
you better go and tell the rest of the world about it, because only Triple M people know about it at the moment.
And a massive thank you to your listeners. Truly, there has been such an outpouring of support and we're incredibly grateful, and thank you both for your interest.
Good on you, Brianna. Thanks so much.
That's
CEO of Food Bank, Brianna Casey. Well, that's a good result, Ruth.
That's a huge result. And well done to Scott Morrison, and well done on them for reviewing the decision that was made. That's a win for all people that need their support, all 710,000 of them.
On a daily basis, very easy to, you know, knock politicians and say they're all hopeless. But when you see one do a backflip, I love it.
Yeah.
They're big enough to stand up and say, actually, we got that wrong. That's what we want them to do.
I don't mind the decision of spreading it between three businesses, but it's a funny time of the year to be making a cutback, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I just looked up our federal budget. So in the next 12 months, Australia as a nation will spend $192 billion, right? That's what our government spends on all sorts of things. Now, you run a business. I know you can't just say,
just give everyone extra. You can't do that.
You can't do that. But it seems weird that you would cut this funding.
They were spreading it, yeah. Let's get Tom Gleeson on for a laugh, but great news there with Food Bank.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Roo and Dits for breakfast. Roo, it's November, but time to get ready for the Fringe. Coming up in February, people got to start thinking now about buying their tickets, who they're going to go and see.
Only for the hottest shows.
Only the hottest shows,
otherwise you can wait right to the last minute and get half price.
This bloke is an institution. This man has been to the Fringe, I think, just about every year since it started. We're talking about Tom Gleeson. Tom, good morning.
Yeah, g'day. Yeah, I can't. Tickets are already on sale for the Fringe, so yeah, you can get tickets to my show now if you don't want to miss out. And I do recommend that because my shows tend to sell out because I'm a sure thing.
You are.
Unlike, don't go and see some new act doing experiments.
No.
Don't go and see some new juggler.
No.
Don't waste your time with that. Just come and see something that you know is going to hit the sweet spot.
Stick with the stock standard, I reckon.
Have you always been good at promoting young talent and stuff like that, Tom, or what?
No, there's a lot of young talent out there, and they need their confidence destroyed. Yeah. I don't think they should even be there.
Yeah.
And I think you should just go and stick with what's going to work. See me.
Keep down.
A risk on Will Anderson, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, what did you get up to in Cairns, Tom? Did you sort of upset a few people up there?
Yeah, well, I've got this TV show on the ABC called The Weekly, and as part of that I made a travel segment called Go Away. And it's like Getaway, but I recommend places that people should never visit. So I went to Cairns, and I said, this place is a shithole. Whatever you do, don't ever come here. And I said, the reef's dead. There's no point. Just don't. I announced that the reef had died that morning. And so I said, don't come here. And the Cairns Post, they really didn't enjoy the segment at all.
No.
And they wrote a article about me, and the headline said, Tom Gleeson is an unfunny drongo.
That's a fair rap.
Well, I must admit, I was really proud of that. I feel like I should put it on my Fringe poster. Tom Gleeson is an unfunny drongo. Cairns Post.
Well, Lawrence Mooney a couple of years ago in Adelaide was called a five-star jerk, and he's dined out on that ever since. It's in his intro now. You're on five-star jerk, that. Lawrence Mooney. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm quite proud of my headline.
Yeah, unfunny drongo, because you were taking a leak in their lagoon there, the main lagoon at the same time. So.
Well, it was pretty funny because I got footage of me, well, to be fair, pretending to take a leak in the Esplanade pool on the main walkway there. And
you hadn't had Barocco, had you?
2 weeks after, it was closed for maintenance. The whole Esplanade pool was shut down. And the mayor actually said in the paper, I want to make this perfectly clear, this is completely unrelated to Tom Clinton of JBC.
Yeah,
it was just part of routine maintenance.
But we know the real truth.
We know the truth.
He just didn't want to admit it. That's right.
No,
now, your show, when you come to Adelaide, your show is called, funnily enough, it's called Joy. Where'd the name come from?
Oh, well, for me, performing is an absolute joy, so I thought I could at least, you know, put that in there. And I like to think going to my shows is a joy. Sometimes it's not for a heckler, but for the rest of the people, you know, watching me tear a heckler to pieces, it's a joy.
Yes.
So I think that's why.
You know, with your TV show this year now, is this stat correct? Is Hard Quiz now the highest rating show or quiz show on TV, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a fun show. I mean, I really enjoy sort of making fun of the contestants and they enjoy having a go at me. And I think there's something that people really love about that completely irreverent nature the show has. I mean, it's almost makes fun of quiz shows while being a quiz show.
It does.
But it surprises me how popular it is. I mean, Family Feud, it absolutely thrashed Family Feud. It got axed. And then you still got his old Logie.
He wouldn't have got the gold Logie without you.
Well, he got the gold Logie for a show that rated half what mine rates. I don't understand the Logies anymore.
Hard to do the sums on that one. I reckon.
You know, it'd be like Roo getting the Brownlow when he's not playing anymore.
Well, I'm just thinking, should Roo and I be speaking up the gang round at Mix 102 and saying they should win the radio award or something? Is that what we're meant to do?
Who's the biggest celebrity you've given the best caning to, Tom? Who's your best sledge you're happy with?
Well, I really enjoyed the challenge of doing a hard chat with Paul Kelly. I mean, Paul Kelly, the singer-songwriter, because he's so universally loved.
Mm.
Like, I mean, how do you have a crack at someone who just everybody likes?
Well, how do you
and
do
I
it?
Was Well, it was really hard until I realised he was probably jealous of Neil Finn's career. So I just kept chiselling away at the fact that Neil Finn was a bit better than him.
Did you get to him?
Yeah, I think I was working away because he'd been on tour with Neil Finn and they played each other's songs. So I asked him what it was like to play songs that are actually popular. And he said it was actually really fun. I said, it's great when everyone knows all the lyrics, not just some of them, isn't it?
Hey, Tom, we love it when you come to town, mate. And this is the Garden of Unearthly Delights, as usual, at the Vagabond. And, mate, we know this will sell out quickly, as we've already pointed out. So, yeah, go to the Fringe website, check it all out, grab tickets to Joy. Tom Gleeson. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Roo. Thanks, Dick.
See you, Tommy. Mate.
Roo, the local elections have come and gone, and we've got a brand new Lord Mayor in Adelaide, Sandy Vershaw. She joins us. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning.
I should say Lord Mayor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now.
You still getting used to being called Lord Mayor?
I am.
You enjoying it, though? Does it feel good?
Yeah, I am. I've got a big smile on my face.
Now, I want to get into a gender discussion here. Lord Mayor actually sounds quite masculine and male, or is that the term that we use for a female as well?
That is the title. So regardless of gender, the position is that of Lord Mayor.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise a woman could be a lord, but there you go.
Well, yeah, it makes for interesting, you know, chat, but there's only ever been three of us, so possibly it might need some reviewing. I'm not sure about
that. Well, no, it doesn't bother me. I was just asking the question. Now, it was a great week for the ladies around South Australia. Many, many of them won the elections, didn't they?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Fantastic to see so many women put themselves up for as candidates in the election, and to see so many of them win. It's absolutely brilliant.
So Onkaparinka, Salisbury, Port Adelaide, Enfield and Charles Sturt, all female mayors, and two largest cities outside of Adelaide, Mount Gambier and Wyala, also have female mayors.
Right, so all right. Stuff. Now, why were you so passionate about getting into the job? What would you like to see happen in our city?
Look, I wanted to continue on the good work that we did in the last 4 years under Lord Mayor Martin Hazy. You know, things like continued rollout of the 10 gig, which is the smart city infrastructure, you know, and also deliver on those really big projects like 88 O'Connell Street and the Central Market Arcade. Plus, I'd really, you know, want to push a forward-thinking agenda. Looking at new technology, how we're going to embrace, you know, AI, autonomous vehicles, blockchain, et cetera, and, you know, bring in more residents and grow businesses and work on having a really dynamic city culture.
When you say more residents, we know there are many, many high-rise buildings being built. Are there a lot of empty apartments at the moment? Are we filling the ones up that we've built?
Well, a lot of them are coming online now, so you know, and people are starting to move into apartments. So I can't give you stats on whether they're full or not, but certainly as they're coming online, we're bringing many, many more residents into the city.
What about Victoria Square? This is always a real discussion point, isn't it, about what should happen down there? We know that Federation Square in Melbourne is very successful. It's a real hub and a central point for people. Have you got any visions for what you'd like to see happen in Victoria Square? Because a lot of money has been spent on it.
Yeah, well, only about, you know, the entire plan didn't get done. So I don't know whether you remember the design or the entire plan for Vic Square. I think we did about a quarter of it in the end, or maybe a third. So the northern end was redone and planted and the structures put in and the fountain and things. And in the southern end, it was cleaned up a bit and the fountain was moved. But that wasn't the original design or the intent for the square. I don't think it's ever going to be Federation Square. It wasn't designed to be like that. It's more of a tranquil, restful place in the middle of the city. And we've done a lot of activities there and we need to do more that talks to its surrounds, talks to, excuse me, the central market and also the growth around there.
All right, fair enough. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, our brand new Lord Mayor, Sandy Vershaw.
Ladies. Roo and Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Roo and Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Roo and Dits.
We got Batesy, we got Ange, and we've got Alice the Wag. Surnames. Now, this has come up recently, Roo. It happens a lot in this day and age. When you got married, Sarah didn't have a drama being Sarah Ricciuto, did she?
No, she didn't.
No, well, things have changed. Batesy, when you and the war hero finally, you know, get it happening and you get married, are you going to take his name?
I think I will. I'm not like 100% sold on it yet.
Why not?
Well, I just feel like I really like my last name. So I'm not I'm not sold. 2-3 years ago, I was 100% never going to take a last name, whoever it was.
Wow.
But I think the older I'm getting and the more I'm thinking about, like, if we have children, I'd want to have the same last name as the kids. I'm sort of being swayed, but
right.
I'd be Alex Papalia. So it's like, I don't know. I like it.
Sounds
Alex
like Bates. That rap. Yeah. Alex Papalia.
Yeah.
Basie.
Just rolls off the tongue, really.
Yeah. This is Papalina.
It's not Papalina.
It's not
nothing to do with Papalina. Dabalina.
Righto, oh Ange. God. Ange, there yes.
It also sounds a bit like a virus. Like, oh, yeah. I've got the virus.
I've got the Papalina virus.
His dad is listening.
Poor Pete, if you're listening.
Oh, God. It's a very nice name, though.
Just slamming one of our war heroes here. Come on. Gee, whiz. Would you ever contemplate saying to him, I want you to be Peter Bates?
He would just laugh me out of the room. I once brought up hyphenating and he just thought I was being ridiculous. He asked if I was medicated.
Because I saw it on TV only a week ago. Oh, on Breakfast TV a week ago. A bloke has just done it. I'm sure that, yeah.
A bloke's taken his wife's name.
Yeah. Hmm. He wears the pants, doesn't he? Yeah. Hey, now, Ange.
Yes, Ange.
What happened when you got married, Ange?
So my first marriage, I decided to keep my own name.
How many have there been?
Oh, there's about seven. I'm on my seventh. No, I'm only joking. No, two. This is just two. So the first marriage, I kept my own name, and I just think I was quite young. I was independent. I thought, you know, this was my identity. This is who I've always been.
Mm.
And I was proud of my family and my family name. So I was a bit like, why would I change it?
Mm. Yep.
Anyway, probably a good thing because that marriage didn't work out and that would be a lot of paperwork that I wouldn't have to deal with.
Yeah, that's quite convenient, yeah.
But then with this marriage, and this will be my last marriage, right? I changed my name. And we wanted to have kids and I just thought, you know, it was important, I think, for Rob as well, like his just the family heritage, the bloodline, you know, the family tree that, and I agreed that I think my children needed to be.
Yeah,
a Mackenzie.
Righto. All right, Alice the Wag.
Well, Joel and I had this discussion the other night and he was literally like, there is just, of course you're taking my last name if we got married.
Mm.
Like, there's just no question I would have to.
Yeah.
But it's quite a negative connotation, like cross, like, and I'm not a cross person.
Well, then it won't be negative.
No one's going to look at you and go, oh, you're an angry little girl, aren't you?
Some days, we can judge when she comes in, we go, today it's Alice Cross. Oh, then other days it'll be,
let's start that.
Alice very angry today.
She's already getting today. Cross.
Oh, she's cross. Oh, she's Alice Cross.
Do you know, I have cross every day that I have to come to work with you, honestly. This is what I have to put up with.
Alice really annoyed today. Just cross.
They actually edited Joel once and there was a photo of him smiling in his team photo and someone put like a photo of him really angry at football and said Joel Cross and then it was him really happy and said Joel happy.
Now, Roo, you were, last weekend you went away on a boys' trip.
Yep. Very good boys' trip just to make sure everyone's safe and happy and going well in their lives. Yes. And that was so what nice it was all about.
Yeah.
But girls never go on girls' trips, do you, girls? Hardly ever.
Like, Roo's on a houseboat, right, with 30 blokes.
Takes a lot of organising.
Drinking, punting, you know, doing all the things boys do. Girls just don't think like that, do they, Batesy?
I totally disagree. I go on girls' trips probably, like, once, maybe twice a year.
Really?
Yeah, girls' weekends.
With how many girls, two?
No, there'd be six of us when we're all in the same place.
That's good to hear.
What happens on these girls' trips?
We usually, like, go down to the coast. So last time we went surfing. Well, I don't know if I'd call it surfing.
She was standing on the boards on the sand.
I wasn't even standing.
Did you get wet?
Yeah, I got really wet because I couldn't stand up for very long, but it was good.
Just trying to crack under the surf instructor.
And that night, I believe that we were dancing with our tops off on a back door, like a back decking, singing like Aretha Franklin and Celine Dion, and one of the neighbours just yelled out about midnight, shut the hell up!
That stuff doesn't happen on boys' trips, but that's good that you're having some, Batesy.
Yes.
That friend that just doesn't organise stuff. Like, and people need to ring me and go, when are we catching up? I haven't seen you. And as soon as they organise and I do, I'm there. But I just, I'm just not a good organiser.
What do you do?
My bestie and I went a couple of years ago, and we just went to Melbourne and we had it was just really nice to have no kids.
Mm.
We went to really nice restaurants, drank French champagne and shopped and slept and, like, just chatted.
Had a rest.
It was just really nice. Yeah, it was just like a girl's downtime. But we were talking the other day that, oh, we should just do like a little girls' trip to Byron or, you know. Right, love to do a girls' trip to New York or something, you know. But
it's
hard when you've
got
kids.
Not like up on a houseboat at the river or anything. Yeah, no.
But it's hard when you've got kids just because the organisation for me and work is just mentally exhausting and I just don't even know where to start. That. Oh, God. What, my trip? I wouldn't want him to organise
my kids when you're away.
Oh, yeah, no, he's awesome. He's very good at that stuff. Then... But no, but I have to set stuff up and Ru, you would know, like when you've got kids sport and everything else, like it's literally a logistic nightmare.
You got to write the job's task down. Yeah, Wag, do you on girls' trips?
Yes. We actually did a footy trip with all the Wags this year. We all went to Sydney because all the boys got to go to Bali. So we thought, stuff you, we'll do it as well.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was pretty big as well. But like Sarah, of course Sarah's not going to say, can you imagine if Sarah went to Ru and go, oh, by the way, I'm going on a girls' trip. We're all going down to the river. You've got the six kids for 3 days?
Yeah. Mm. I just found that every other family, friends, and
they watch their
that's your why family. Girls' trips become rarer because we actually take responsibility for ourselves. Yep. We just don't go. Oh, by the way, see you later. I'm going away for 3 days.
Yeah.
So how many Wags went to Sydney?
There was three of us.
Three of you.
Three out of 40. It's a big turn, yeah.
If you have nothing nice to say, say nothing.
How can you only have three girls there?
Oh, I love
it. Well, to be started.
No, Ru, the other 20 sit back here and just bitch about them. No, it's like, oh, what about the three that went to Sydney?
I'm done with this. I'm walking out.
Right.
All right,
ladies. Alice Angry's here again.
Thank you. Oh, my God, that's funny.
On Triple M's Ru and Dits for Breakfast, Will Anderson will rock you.
Sing it.
Please welcome Will Anderson.
Oh, good morning, Ru and Dits. How are you this morning?
I thought we were plugging the Bohemian Rhapsody song again. Have you seen that, Will, by the way?
I can't believe that they don't do a version of my intro music in Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie. That's the bit. I assume it'll be in the DVD extras.
Yes, that's right.
How are you, Will? Good?
I'm very well this morning. I don't know if you guys followed the US midterm elections. You probably didn't follow it so closely. You might not have followed the Kentucky sheriff's elections, because what happens in the US midterms is they're not only electing sort of, you know, your Senate and your House, they're electing sheriffs and judges and all these sort of things happen on the same day. So there's a new sheriff in town in Kentucky, and he has a very special name. Have a listen.
Keep their longtime sheriff or welcome a new face? That was the question for voters in Marshall County, Kentucky.
Sheriff Kevin Byers has held that position since 1997. He faced Republican challenger Eddie McGuire, and the result right now, Marshall County Sheriff's race, 100% of the precincts reporting this one's been called. Eddie McGuire, with 62% of the vote, is the new sheriff there. Kevin Byers, the incumbent, with 38%.
Why am I not surprised? The new sheriff in town, and his name's Eddie McGuire.
He's been a sheriff for ages.
Well, that's the thing about Eddie McGuire. Once he's in, you'll never get him out. That guy's going to be sheriff for the next 40 years.
I want him wearing a 10-gallon hat now to work.
I mean, 10-gallon, that'd be the one that fits the head properly, right?
How did he go when you played him that this morning? That's gold.
It's fair to say that he celebrated like he was the actual person who won the election.
A little bit of a head wobble?
Oh, a little bit of a head wobble. Total head wobble. In fact, we're going to get the Eddie McGuire, the Sheriff Eddie McGuire, on the show with Eddie McGuire this week. So we'll have two Eddies
tomorrow,
head-to-head.
Tomorrow, play a bit of Eric Clapton, I Shot the Sheriff, please.
Dits. Is that a threatened assassination attempt for our man across the border?
Reaction, that's all.
Oh, that is just gold. How do you find that stuff?
The good news is that Eddie McGuire is quite a... the thing about Eddie McGuire is this Sheriff Eddie McGuire, every time he Googles, he must get our man, because our man's the most famous Eddie McGuire in the world. So he must be wondering what Collingwood is, wondering what Millionaire Hot Seat is. And there's a few other stories that he might need to dig into as well.
I look forward to this catch-up. This could be a real Eddie-off, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's Ed-to-Ed.
Ed-to-Ed.
Yeah, for the ultimate Eddie.
It could be guns drawn and everything here.
Well, I mean, one of them's got a gun and is legally allowed to fire it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I look forward to that.
So you are getting him on, are you?
Yes, he's going to be on the show on Thursday.
We need to hear that. We need to hear that.
Good stuff.
Yes. Well, he's not much like our Eddie McGuire, because we actually heard his victory speech, and he was very humble in victory. So
it just doesn't, that doesn't fit the name at all, does it?
It didn't. No, I'm sure Ed will give him a rev up about that.
Yeah. Hey, what's happening over there in Melbourne after the terror stuff on Friday? Did Eddie, I'm sure he would have been a Pellegrini's man. And what about yourself, Will? Did you used to go in there and see Sisto and all the old Italians?
I don't think there's anyone who's visited Melbourne, particularly. So we told this story yesterday, but being a country kid, we would come down from the country. We would stay up that end of the city and you would have dinner at the spaghetti tree across the road and you would have coffee at Pellegrini's. Darce, in particular, Luke Darcy, 3 or 4 nights a week. He was there at one stage when he was living in the city, and turns fair to say, Darce wasn't cooking a lot at home. So Pellegrini's was his little kitchen away from home, and huge part of the community here in Melbourne, and the way that the city has rallied around that business. I mean, those boys took over that business in 1974, which was the year I was born. So 44 years there in the heart of Melbourne, and really pioneers when it comes to Melbourne's cafe culture and espresso coffee culture. And they had the big reopening at 8 o'clock this morning. They've set up a little table for Sisto there with his long black and a newspaper and a little stool as a tribute to him. And they're serving free long blacks, which was his drink, all day today down at Pellegrini's. So we're hoping that there's going to be a huge amount of people going through that business there today.
And a state funeral, was it this week or?
That's right, state funeral this week, and Ed started the lobbying yesterday with Sally Capp, our Lord Mayor, to get the lane next to Pellegrini's renamed Sisto Lane.
Yeah. Now,
that is a wonderful tribute, but that's also because at some stage, you know, Eddie wants a street in Melbourne named after him. There's no doubt about that. Probably outside the Holden Centre, I'd imagine, yeah. Maguire Street, the Maguire Way. In Maguire Boulevard. Yeah, exactly.
It's a boulevard.
I would have thought the airport. I mean, you're not going big enough. You've just landed at Eddie Maguire Airport in Melbourne.
Yeah, but I reckon some of the planes would turn around, would they?
Good on you, Will.
Cheers, boys.
See you, mate.
Will Anderson.
Rossdale Homes, with over 30 years of building experience. RossdaleHomes.com.au.